You have to have an understanding of that your life is not about the time that you exist in this body, but your life is about the time that will be spent in the presence of the Lord without this body. Amen? Now, while you're here, God's got a few things for you to do. One of them's rejoice. One of them's receive forgiveness through Christ Jesus and His blood. And the other one is to rejoice. Amen? Did I say that twice? I guess I did. Three times. So just begin to rejoice and thank God for that. And then what's going to happen, begin to happen is you know, all the stuff that you're supposed to do or didn't do or could do, it really kind of falls kind of off to the wayside. But then it comes, it creeps up, you know, and you say, no, in Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Because there's all kinds of things you could plan, all kinds of things you can think about that can go wrong or that look like they're not supposed to be happening that way. Well, who determines what's supposed to happen? Who determines what's supposed to be? Well, it's not supposed to be like that. We get lined up with the world's way of thinking. Understandably, we're raised here. You know, you weren't raised on Mars, so you didn't learn Martian culture. You learned Earth culture, which is what? Worry about everything. Get under bondage about religion. That's what you learned. That's what you learned about. Learn how, you know, get kicked and kick back. That's what we learned, you know. Get reviled, revile again. Jesus was raised in heaven. He said when he was reviled, he reviled not again. But he blessed. So when somebody's chewing you up on one side, down the other, just get in the habit of blessing them. They don't know what to do with that. They just don't know what to do with it. It's just like, you know, and I mean, it doesn't matter to you. You're fine. A little chewing doesn't hurt, you know, much. God to take care of it. Let's look at Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramathaimmozaphim. We're going to spend the rest of the day on that. There was a certain man of Ramathaimmozaphim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. Now, I've always wondered if that Elihu was the same Elihu as in the book of Job. Remember Elihu, the wise guy kid? The young man? I don't know. This may have been way, way late. But this Elkanah had two wives. Now, how many wives did Adam have?
One that we know about.
Now, some have made the illustration that God made Adam and Eve and not Adam and Steve. Well, that's probably a good, you know, good illustration. I mean, when God was making, He made the decision to make, and He's going to make a helper for Adam. He didn't make Steve. He actually made a woman. How many women did He make?
One.
Well, this guy here, he had two. Can't quite figure that out. Guess he worked them hard and wanted to swap them out. It's kind of like oxen or something. You want to have twos, you work them harder. But he had two wives. It's probably part of his first problem, you think? As we'll continue to see. There's a show about some Mormons. On TV. What? I am sticking to the Bible. And it said, they've got this show, and it's a drama. It's drama. It's drama about these two, polygamous family. And the thing is there's enough drama with just you and your husband, isn't there, Mama? There's probably enough drama with just me and Janet, you know. But so my indicator here is just that having this two-wife thing is something God just wasn't all that excited about, and it wasn't anything that he initiated, or we just find out that the people God picked weren't perfect people. And they got involved and did things as the culture did. You ever notice that? You ever found yourself doing that? Just getting involved with the culture. Well, I'm all things to all people that I might win some. Well, I don't know that he actually meant that quite in that way. In other words, he said, don't worry about it. Go in and eat that meat and that'll be fine. Just bless the guy and witness the guy. Tell him about Jesus. Amen? Let's read this. So this guy, he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. You remember those two cats? And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions, his portions from the feast. You know, time to, you know, serve. Time to serve your family. You're going up to the feast. Time to serve your family. But to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion. He gave the best portion. He gave the best steak. So he gave portions to the rest of them, but Hannah, he gave the best. Now Hannah had no children. But to Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary, I wonder who that was. Peninnah. How come girls know this stuff? Her adversary. So I mean, Melissa jumped right on that. Her adversary was Peninnah, the other wife. And she also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Can you imagine that? Just poking somebody because they're down? Just poking somebody because you can? Maybe that's why they call that sister wives. You ever known sisters kind of do that sometimes? Don't they, Janet? Not anymore, but I mean, back in the olden days. Like, I got two sisters living at our house. They always poking at each other. I know brothers and sisters do it too, but I mean, I think sisters do more of it. You think? I don't know. Pam, what do you think? You didn't have no sisters? Well, there you have it.
I poked my sister.
You did? Yeah. My sister was mean. See, she was always trying to get my goat. She's the baby sister. She's 3 years younger than me. And she was always trying to get me. And then we had a lady working for us. And she would always holler at me because I was always chasing Donna down and I was going to take her to task for what she had done. So... I was always the one under the getting caught, you know. But Peninnah apparently was an adversary to Hannah, provoking her sore, making her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, that is Elkanah, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. And therefore she wept and did not eat. Then her husband, Elkanah, said to Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons?
He's a humble guy.
Well, yeah. Trying to encourage the girl, you know. Yeah. Aren't you getting blessed just being married to me? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, If you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid, remember me, and not forget your handmaid, but will give to your handmaid a man-child. Then will I give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli noticed her mouth. Now, and so he was in there, and he just happened to see her kind of across the room and seeing her pray, or seeing her lips move. Now, Hannah spoke in her heart only, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. And therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. She was just in there, just kind of stumbled in there, and just like you'd see a drunken person, just moving their mouth, you know. We've seen folks coming down the street down there near the Fort Worth Church. It's kind of a interesting area. You'll get all kinds of people going up and down the street, and people would just be talking to themselves. You know, just talking to themselves. And so apparently Eli had had some of those folks close to him, and he'd seen some of that. So he thought she was drunk. I guess a lot of people came to church drunk back in those days. You think? We've had that too. Not here. I don't know, we might have had that here. This is Dallas after all, you know. Praise the Lord, people come to get forgiveness. Amen. Even before they're done sinning. That's good. You ought to let them in. So therefore Eli thought she had been drunken, and Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunk, sister? Put away your wine from you." So he just went right up to her and said, "Hey, honey." And Hannah answered and said, good pastor, you know, go up and rebuke the sister right there. And Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have neither drunk wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not your handmaid for a daughter of the devil. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken here too." Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant you your petition." You know, he didn't even know what she'd asked. He didn't even know what she'd asked. Let's examine your request. You know, like the Wizard of Oz, you know. Well, let's see, what'd you ask for? So he didn't examine her request. He just said, "The Lord grant you your request. The Lord grant you your petition that you've asked of him." And she said, "Let your handmaid find grace in your sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was sad no more. She had a word from the Lord. And Eli didn't know what he'd said. Yeah, I have to say, you know, sometimes you've prayed, and the Lord grant you your petition. You know, it's not up to me to figure it out. Amen? You've humbled yourself before God, say, "God, thank you. I'm a wicked sinner." Y'all have four chairs up here last week? Yeah, that's what I figured. We had four chairs in Fort Worth, too. And so he had four. So, you know, she just repented. Just repent and let the Lord be your righteousness. Amen? Repent and let the Lord be your goodness. And let your request be made known unto God. And she said, "Let your handmaid find grace in your sight." So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was sad no more. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel. So boom, your petition be granted you. There you have it. 9 months later, there's a baby. Because I've, she named his name, called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I've asked him of the Lord." A man asked of the Lord. Samuel. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. And then will I bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. Wow. Remember what she said? If you give me a son, I'll give him to the Lord. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems good to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Then Hannah began to pray. And she began to pray. If you remember when Mary began to pray after she had visited Elizabeth, Hannah began to pray out of the unction of the Holy Spirit. She began to pray and to lift up her voice, and the Holy Spirit gave her an utterance. And this is the part of the work of the Holy Spirit in you, is when you have been in the presence of the Lord, received something of the Lord, is allow the Lord to open your mouth and to speak. Just it's an example in the Scripture. Just begin to lift up your voice and to pray. Not just thank you, Lord, but just begin to open your mouth. You know, the unction of the Holy Spirit, that is the moving of the Holy Spirit to pray and to declare, is not only for the people surrounding, but also for you. And the Lord will prophesy through you. Now I would not say that except for the fact that we have multiple examples in Scripture, certainly Mary, and certainly Hannah here, and talking about how the Lord, and I'm going to read this, but first of all, Hannah was a woman who had difficulties, problems in this world, in this life. She had a husband who wasn't perfect, had two wives, wasn't helping Hannah out any in that regard. And they had a life. You're living from day to day and from week to week. And God opens the door and gives Hannah, later on we find out, she has later three sons and two daughters more. So the Lord's opened her womb, but she's also, when the Lord opens your womb, Mom, she gives you children. He gives you children. And then with children come a lot of activity. So you begin to pray for children. You have children. And then children, children are a blessing, and children are a challenge. Children are a heritage of the Lord, and children are a challenge. God opened Hannah's womb and gave her these children. She was living a life that was full of interesting caveats and turns and twists. And I just want you to know that no matter what life brings, that the living God is with you. And He travels with you, and He walks with you, and He brings to pass in your life peace, joy, thanksgiving. Everything is not perfect. Everything is in your eyes. Everything is not perfect. But one day after the next, learn to not grieve, but rejoice. I'll read this prayer. Chapter 2 of 1 Samuel 2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside you. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more, it's so exceeding proudful or proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength." That's her. "And they that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren have borne 7, and she that has many children is waxed feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and he brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and he lifts up. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints." Saints? "He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked will be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Who can find one? This is the gift of God, isn't it? Man, are you going to find one? A virtuous woman is a gift of God, both to herself and to her family. It's not something you do, women. It's not something you do. It's something the Lord does. It's something the Lord does. You're not virtuous of yourself. Your virtue is of God. Same may be true of a man, but here he's talking about a woman. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." No, the household is a government all by itself. You know, you got churches, you got cities, you got nations. A household is a city all by itself. It's got a fortress. It's got, I don't mean just a, I'm not talking about a house building. I'm talking about a family. Is a government and a fortress all by itself. It's got a little government going on, and it has got a trust going on, and the power of it. That's why God set families first. God set family governments first. He set them in place. Because all you need is to let the Lord maintain that family. Doesn't matter what ends up happening in the rest of your life. With the family there together, it is, if Janet and I are together, if we lose our house, if we lose our cars, if we lose all this, if anything goes wrong between us and the Lord, who is our substance and sustenance, we have no worries. We have no fears. Because He will maintain us. He will sustain us. We've made errors and mistakes and foolish decisions. Yet because we have given ourselves to the Lord, He will sustain us through and over everything. I believe that. Maybe I'm a silly goose, but I believe that God will sustain us no matter what, even through whatever this, what if Obama wins again and the middle class goes away and the FEMA camps come to get us. Well, praise the Lord. God will see us through. Amen?
Amen.
God will see us through because He loves us, because this world's not our home. This world is not our home. What if we have difficulties and indecisions and opposite decisions? We come to resolve them because we are born of God, and because God moves in us and lives with us, and we do not have any capacity for, we don't have any capacity for divorce. There's no capacity there. There's no, and I'm not talking about anybody's journey, where anybody's life has been. I'm just saying, from this moment forward, is there's no capacity, in us for that, thought to arise. And, of course, people have said murder. Well, maybe that. No, I don't, not even that. And, okay, maybe Janet's kind of thinking about it, so. Yeah, maybe she's had some thoughts other than mine. So, the only reason I'm saying this is the heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. I guess I'm going all around the track to say I don't have any fears. Because, I totally trust her with my life. Trust God with your, and if you're not there, trust God with that man or that woman that you have. Trust God with that man or that woman, because God will lead you, guide you, carry you. He will bring you through whoever. And I realize there are ultimate situations that require dealing with. But trust, put your hope and your trust in God, because He is the Savior of your soul, the Savior of your life. He is carrying you. He is bringing you through anything and everything. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. That's you, for you husbands, that's going to have to be a gift of God to you. Start trusting her. Allow the Lord to allow you to put trust in her. And there's times when husbands and wives have not exactly exhibited, trustworthiness. But let God begin to transform you and change you. Let God begin to move and transform that relationship. Pray for them. Don't curse them. Verse 12 says, she will do him good and not evil. This is a virtuous woman. All the days of her life is because she's trusted in God. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night. That's where Jim gets his verse. He wants Peggy to get up early and make breakfast. She rises also while it's yet night and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands she plants a vineyard. She girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. You say that means she goes to the gym, is that right? I don't know what that means. Go to the Gold's Gym? Yeah. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes out not by night. She lays her hand to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretches out her hand to the poor, and yet she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. They got plenty of clothing. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes fine linen and sells it, and delivers girdles to the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eats not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but you excel them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. So the virtuous woman comes forth from what? A woman that fears the Lord. Whatever level of these attributes is evident or appears lacking in your life, it's not these levels of attributes, but it's the fact that you fear the Lord. And you're fulfilled because of the fact that you fear the Lord and He is your strength. Wisdom comes out of your mouth. And finally, for the rest of us, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Honor your father and your mother. Equally, not one over the other, not if one... You know, some folks, their dad was a mess and their mom was the savior of the house. Some folks, the opposite. Dad was the one that held it all together and mom was a disaster. And we're both a disaster. Is that what you said? Yeah, we're both a disaster. So we're equally disastrous. The Scripture is commanding you to honor your father and your mother equally, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. So let's pray for... I want the moms to stand today. Father, we magnify you and we thank you for these women who have borne children, raised children, who have been wives. Father, we lift them to you and thank you for their joy. And Father, we thank you for lifting them up and encouraging them, strengthening them, giving them hope even in the midst of turbulent times. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit who dwells or should dwell in each one of them by faith in the Lord Jesus, by hope in His promise through the blood of Christ. And Father, that their joy is full and their hope is realized, that there is none who shall by any means hurt them. Father, that you are watching over their children, now that in many instances, most instances I guess here, that their children are more or less on their own, out beyond their care. So Father, I thank you for them right now, that you would encourage them and give them hope and peace and joy, knowing that the mistakes they made are covered with the blood, and the prayers that they prayed are heard, even as Hannah's, and that you will manifest in them as they're praying for their sons and their daughters the love of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit to deliver them into the blessing and the deliverance of the Lord, so that their lives might be lift up and hopeful and blessed. And I thank you for touching these women today, Lord, with a mighty hand to minister to them, to touch them, to show them your mercy, show them your love, cause their husbands to call them blessed, cause their children to call them blessed. There are places where that's not happening. And Lord, I pray that you intervene and transform the lives of children to call their mother blessed. Thank you for transforming the husband to see the blessing that this wife has been and is. And I thank you for your great love and mercy for the families, for the family that you have created in each domicile, each residence, that you would show yourself glorious, not only to those family members and extended family, but to those with whom they work and fellowship on a daily basis. Let them be a declaration of the glory of God, not by their good works, but by your good works in and through them. And we give you all the praise and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship God. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we worship you. We thank you for our moms, Lord. We thank you for these mothers, the moms. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for the peace that you work in them. Hallelujah. 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 Glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Thank you for the mercy and the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You can be seated.